This episode of Lawyers Tell All is brought to you by Law Firm Conversions. If your law firm's phone is ringing, that only means your marketing is successful. It's what happens when the phone is answered that will drive your success or failure. Visit www.intakeacademy.com and claim your free copy of this groundbreaking book, along with resources on mental health for intake specialists and empathy. Plus, become eligible to receive a free 15-minute consult with Chris Mullins. Welcome to the Lawyers Tell All podcast, where Chris Mullins, the preeminent sales and communications consultant in the legal industry, shows you how it looks through lawyers' eyes. Here, innovators in the trenches provide powerful insights that help you connect with new clients, handle the sometimes harsh realities of the legal profession, and embrace the mindsets needed to succeed. Be sure to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, lean in, tune in, and let's take a deep dive.
Welcome, everyone. It's Chris Mullins with Lawyers Tell All podcast, and I am so excited to be interviewing attorney John Berry today. How are you doing, John?
Great, Chris. How are you?
I'm super. Let me just talk a little bit about John so you have an idea of John's background. John is a trial attorney and Army veteran. John Berry Jr. is a warrior. He has led successful teams in Bosnia and Iraq and continues to lead teams in the courtroom. John fights with both tenacity and skill to orchestrate impressive victories against difficult odds. He has won scores of battles for clients facing criminal charges, injured veterans, and people injured in serious accidents. As a veteran, John also has intimate knowledge of the Veterans Affairs system and has delivered justice for thousands of veterans. John, I know a current and important issue for you and for Berry Law Firm is the Camp Lejeune Justice Act, correct?
That's correct. And the PACT Act as well, which deals with things beyond just Camp Lejeune, but burn pits, Agent Orange, other things that have affected our veterans.
Okay. So with regards to Camp Lejeune, can you talk a little bit about what happened?
Sure. So back in the 1970s, the military became aware of some chemicals that was in the water in some of these bases, and they were concerned. By the early 80s, they figured out that it was poisoning people. A few years later, they shut those wells down. And we know that veterans that served on Camp Lejeune between 1953, I believe, and 1987 were affected by the water. And so what has happened is you had all these veterans and their families who were suffering from diseases caused by the water. There were birth defects. There were stillborn children. And so this was a problem for a long time. Then about 10 years ago, the VA recognized some of these conditions, about six of these cancers, as presumptive service-connected disabilities that veterans who served on Camp Lejeune could get service connection for, which means the VA would pay them disability. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. We think there's over 40 disabilities based on the thousands of veterans we've worked with. And that provision did not take care of the veterans' families, their children, the contractors and civilians on the base. And so while the VA has done some things over the past 10 years to help our Marines who served on Camp Lejeune, we've left the families out.
Mm-hmm. The families and the children.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, Chris, when we deploy, when we go to war, we always say that, you know, the families deploy with you. Yes, they're at home. But when you're fighting the battle over there, someone else is taking care of the family. Someone else is making sure the kids have something to eat, the bills are paid, that people are safe. And mm-hmm. so, it's very tough, I think, to be overseas. You know, when we're there and we're so focused on the mission. And that's the thing about most people in the military. If you talk to them about deployments of wars and missions, you know, there's bad things that happen, but there's a lot of good in being focused on the mission, being with your brothers and sisters to your left and to your right, and having faith that someone's taking care of your family back home. The problem was that wasn't happening. And that's why this is so personal to us at Berry Law.
Yeah. And I mean, you want to know that everything's being taken care of at home. You're doing the right thing and you just want to not worry about your family. And then you find out that everything wasn't being taken care of at home. So that's horrific. So when did they discover that there were chemicals in the water?
Well, so they knew that some of the chemicals were dangerous in the 70s, but they confirmed it, I believe, in 1982. So that was the actual year that it was confirmed. Then within a few years, the wells were shut down.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit more in detail about who was affected by the contaminated water? I mean, you talked about families and you talked about contractors. Anything else?
Yeah, so I mean, think about it. Any Marine or family member who served there, and there's an entire list of diseases from leukemia to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma to all sorts of bladder cancer, rectal cancer, birth defects, fetal death, Parkinson's disease, and cervical cancer, esophageal cancer, lung cancer, ovarian cancer, just about anything you can think of. Right. I mean, it's just horrible chemicals. And here's what really bothers me is that if you think about, you know, someone dumps Dow, right? We heard about the lawsuit. Dow dumps a bunch of chemicals in near West Virginia. And what happens? The families are able to sue and get justice and be taken care of. There's something called the Ferris Doctrine, which basically says, look, if you're in the military, you can't sue the military. Right. And so that was an obstacle. There were other legal obstacles. So I'm proud of our government for stepping up and doing the right thing to make sure that our veterans are taken care of. And so this is one of those bipartisan bills, I think is what they call them, right? Where both sides, and I'm not into politics, but it seems that agree we need to take care of our veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So with regards to Berry Law Firm, how do you feel that Berry Law Firm can help?
Sure. And I suppose I should go back why Berry Law Firm helps. My father is a Vietnam veteran. He's affected by Agent Orange, and he waited years to get his disability compensation. And you have to remember that Agent Orange did not become a big deal. This was a big fight to get veterans who were, and I got to tell you, the fight's not over. That part of this bill helps some of the veterans who were left out. But, you know, my father's in Vietnam. The herbicide that they used out in the basically what it ended up doing was not only killing the vegetation, but long-term killing our Vietnam veterans. And, of course, they didn't come back to a proper welcome to begin with, right? So it's disgraceful how poorly we treated our Vietnam veterans. And then we didn't take care of them when they came back and we knew about Agent Orange. Right, so my father's a Vietnam veteran. He came back, was a trial lawyer, and he started helping veterans with PTSD and other things and built our national veterans law practice into what it is. And so for him, it was very important to take care of, you know, his brothers and sisters in arms. And then I served in Iraq and I served in Bosnia. And, you know, it's the same thing. I was a company commander over there. And we are charged with protecting America's sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. And when that military service ends, you don't want to let go of that. And so, you know, we still that oath we take never goes away. So we still support and defend the Constitution one client at a time. And the important thing at Berry Law is to make sure that that we are taking care of our veterans. And so for us, we've got about 105 team members right now. Over 40 of them are military veterans. Mm-hmm. We've got spouses, and of those 40 veterans, 20 of them are Marines. Some of them were at Camp Lejeune at the time. Some of them were born on Camp Lejeune at the time. We have I'm going to tell you our military intake team in a little bit, but and that's where you come in. But that's, you know, what we do now is, yeah, if veterans have been affected, they've been denied VA disability claims, we help them appeal. If they've been injured, if they were on Camp Lejeune between 1953 and 1987, we will, you know, we're here to help. And, and if that happens, we need that, you know, we want to help them get the compensation that they have earned. You know, I hate to say it, but I hate entitlement. I hate that our government has a bunch of programs that takes care of people who haven't done anything for us. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds pretty harsh, but when I have served with America's best, our heroes, and I see them homeless, I see them suffering, them not taken care of, it disgusts me. And so I am proud that we've stepped up and we've helped these veterans. And so that's what we do. If a veteran has any type of cancer, and was serving on Camp Lejeune around that time, or their family was there, we want to help. If they applied for VA disability benefits and they were denied or didn't get a fair rating, we want to help. Mm-hmm. And so that's the what, Chris. And I think the why behind it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I absolutely agree with how veterans are taken care of and homeless people. You see them constantly all the time. It's just, it's terrible. Okay, so talk to me a little bit about how you're going to be able to pull this off with regards to your intake team.
Right. So one of the things is you've seen a bunch of horrible, inauthentic marketing from a bunch of big firms, right? And a lot of our veteran clients reach out to us and they send them to us, you know, like, oh my gosh, look how horrible this is, right? And it really makes the lawyers look bad, mm-hmm. right? And then they call in, and what happens is they get a call center. Usually these call centers are run overseas. And quite frankly, that's okay for, you know, I mean, you look, that's business and I get it, but here's the deal. There is a brother and a sisterhood in the military. And if I have an issue, I want to go to my fellow veterans. And so that's what we've done, is we've built our own, intake team around, the Marine Corps. Like I said, we've got 20, before Camp Lejeune happened, we had 20 Marines on our team already that said, what can we do to help? How can we get on top of this? How can we help? I know family members. I know, because the Marine Corps, while it's huge, it's a very small, tight-knit community. I mean, you know, you are talking about elite military service members who for many of them, it was the most important thing they did. Just ask Ronald Reagan, right? Some people go through life wondering if they made a difference. Marines don't have that problem. Mm-hmm. And I think so for us, you know, having Marines being able to call in and talk to other Marines or military spouses, you know, or even Army veterans. You know, when I was in Iraq, I was on Al Asad, which is a Marine air base. So joint operations, we served with the Marines. And, you know, for me, it's important that they can talk to people. I know, Chris, a lot of what you teach is about, you know, having that connection. And I want, if someone calls in, I want to be able to help them. And look, maybe we can't help them with Camp Lejeune. Maybe that's not their problem. Maybe we can help them with VA disability. Mm-hmm. issue. Or maybe they need some mental health help. We have connected all sorts of service organizations that can help them. But our mission is to help veterans get all the benefits that they've earned and make sure that their families are taken care of. And it's no different than when we, when we served. And so I know you teach a lot about empathy, mm-hmm. But this is real empathy, right? When someone calls in and you've walked, you know, you've been on the same bases, you've been in the same, walked the same streets in combat. It's a very tight connection. And so it's important to me that we take care of those American heroes and that we ensure that their families are taken care of and that our nation is held accountable to its promise to care for our veterans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a very difficult conversation to have when you get these phone calls and then how to handle these phone calls. And so you obviously want to make sure that your team, they know exactly how to handle them and they're experts at it and they give empathy 100%. And you talked about PTSD, you talked about mental health. Let me ask you this. What about your team, them handling all kinds of phone calls, but when they get these type of phone calls, they're very difficult calls, one after another, over and over again, traumatic phone calls, traumatic stories. What about your team with mental health? How can we help them? How can we keep them focused on what they need to take care of themselves first?
Well, and Chris, that's a great question because that was behind the entire design here. I think, if you're a 911 operator and you're dealing with, you know, horrific calls all the time, that's tough. What I have found in the veteran community, especially with issues such as post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, alcoholism, drug addiction, a lot of it is, you know, these veterans, they felt best when they were on a team. And it may be that the traumatic event happened to them while they're in service, but we didn't see the effects till after they got back. Right. And the team was no longer there to support them. And so for a lot of veterans coming back, there's two problems. There's no more team and there's no more mission. Mm-hmm. I think by giving them this mission, we're not going to see the fatigue. For the Marines that we had previously had our intake team before we started the Camp Lejeune mission was, they actually felt energized. I'm helping another Marine. And yeah, mm-hmm. I know what they're going through. And it makes me feel really good. Mm-hmm. They're going, you know, that I'm able to help them through the same things that I went through. So mm-hmm. I would say that, yeah, for the non-veterans who are taking those calls, it can wear them down. You know, I think they're certainly hearing about all the trauma. It's very tough a lot of times for a non-veteran intake people to hear a lot of the things that just sound so horrific and you know, the mental health pieces that can be so draining. But for a lot of our veterans, what I've noticed is they actually seem to be energized by those calls because they're like, hey, I'm going through the same thing, or I know somebody who is. And I, at the end of the day, I just helped 10 veterans. And Chris, you'd be amazed at how many suicide calls we get, right? Mm-hmm. Veterans who are saying, look, I've been denied VA disability by the VA. I have no money. I'm going to be homeless. I've lost my family. I have nowhere to go, nothing to do. And our veterans get to step up and be a hero mm-hmm. to those fellow veterans. So I think that it's challenging, but I haven't had that issue when we're hiring veterans in that role. I think for non-veterans, yeah, it's a lot to get used to. You know, we veterans, we have a crude sense of humor. We say yeah. it like it is. We don't sugarcoat it. And, you know, we're not bothered by some of the things that we have to say. And I think for someone who's not been exposed to that, it's different. But I do worry about our non-veterans, yeah, on intake, letting them kind of decompress, realizing it's okay. But most of our veterans have had, you know, through the military, we've had for the past 20 years, we've had suicide training, we've had mental health training, we've had resiliency training, and so we know how to talk to our brothers and sisters who are suffering. And it's a great, great feeling at the end of the day to know I helped somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. I like it when you said a mission. It's a mission. It's just another mission, which is, it's a big mission. So I think that's really great and a good way to position it. And absolutely perfect that you've done the mental health piece. Obviously, you want to keep doing it over and over and over again for everybody. And, you know, obviously the veterans that are going to be working with you or the additional veterans, they can help your team that they're not veterans. They can help train them and coach them and teach them how to kind of get through it and how to handle those difficult phone calls. So I think that's really, really great. Let me ask you this. When it comes to mental health, this is like a little bit of a different area. When it comes to mental health, do you ever deal with mental health with regards to the attorneys at your firm? Because I know mental health is a really big issue with lawyers. I know dentists used to be number one for suicide. Now it's attorneys. And so what are your thoughts about that?
Well, it is a serious problem. The profession has well-documented studies that talk about alcoholism, depression, you know, burnout, and it's very real. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are ways, you know, some people deal with it better than others. I personally try to, the way Barry Law is broken down is we're like the military. We have squads and we have squad leaders, and they take care of, you know, they're the senior lawyers looking after the junior lawyers and making sure that they are okay. And the first thing is to mm-hmm. check in with them. And then the second thing is to offer them assistance. And sometimes the reality is most lawyers, you know, it's a sign of weakness, right? To say, hey, I need help. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we have to share those stories of, hey, you know, hey, I lost that big trial too that mm-hmm. ruined my client's life because I wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a heavy burden to carry. On the other hand, you know, I think we hire a lot of veterans, and a lot of our veterans were former military officers who were responsible for protecting America's sons and daughters in battle and lost some of them. And so we're not strangers to, I think, to life altering stress. Right. And when, like I said, when you lose somebody, it changes your life forever. And if you lose a big case, it changes your life. And, you know, at Barry Law, we represent veterans. We represent people who have been in serious injuries where, you know, they may not fully physically recover, and we got to make sure their families are taken care of. And we represent people charged with serious crimes, and they can go to prison for the rest of their lives. And so, you know, when we fail, when we lose, we know that someone entrusted us with their life mm-hmm. and we failed. Mm-hmm. And that is very hard to accept. And it's very, really hard when you're doing it day in, day out.
Right.
But I think, you know, a lot of what we'll do is we'll just, you know, we do a lot of resiliency training. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, you know, look, you go in there expecting the best possible outcome, but it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up. And sometimes all the client really needed was you to fight for them. Mm-hmm. And look, if you did your best and you did everything right and you still lost, you know, don't be okay with losing. Losing sucks. Mm-hmm. But be okay with your effort. Be okay with who you are. You're not just a lawyer, right? You're a person and you have other things in your life that you need to, you know, take care of. And so we want our lawyers to take a lot of vacation. But when it's game on, it's game on. Show mm-hmm. up. But when you need to take a break, take a break. And so I'm very big into sprints, not marathons. You know, come in there, try the big case, mm-hmm. take some time to decompress. One of the advantages we have because of our work with veterans with PTSD, we represent thousands of veterans with PTSD, is that we have access to a lot of mental health care providers, mm-hmm. and some of them are local. And so some of them will step in and you know, we'll say, hey, we've got an issue here. Could you help? But I think the biggest frustration, Chris, is like everything else in life, lawyers, like anyone, don't always want help, even when they need it. If they don't want help, we can't help them. And that is frustrating.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I work with a lot of law firms, and my thought is many law firms focus more on produce, which obviously you need to do, but they forget about taking care of their team, regardless of, you know, what their career was before they came. They're just taking care of them with everything it sounds like that you have in place, your training, the mental health training, your mental health providers. It sounds like you've got it covered. And I think that's probably a really big lesson that other law firms could learn from you. Just one of the lessons in this interview is just setting up your entire, even if you don't take care of veterans, just set up your firm to cover mental health when it comes to team members. What about the life-work balance? What would you say about that? What advice do you have for attorneys with regards to that?
Yeah, it really doesn't exist. I mean, I think that if you're a trial lawyer, it doesn't exist. You just have to make it work together. I would say we have a section that solely does VA disability benefits, mm-hmm. and they work. I mean, if they're efficient and they're smart about how they schedule, they can really work that 8 to 5, right? Whereas if you're a PI lawyer, criminal defense lawyer, and you're trying cases, you know, life is just it's a roller coaster. You know, and you know, you get that call at 3 a.m, you know, a family's been seriously injured, you're going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. You may be in trial for, you know, 3 to 4 weeks and you have to prepare for that. You know, but most of us, like I said, because we're veterans, we're used to deploying for a year at a time, right? Mm-hmm. So, or the Marines 6 to 7 months, mm-hmm. Air Force less than that, right? But we're used to deploying. We're used to having that time away and knowing it's focus time. And it is really tough. But I don't think that that's unique to the legal profession. I think why we stay healthy is because we have an important mission, and our team knows that, you know, if you're going to commit, you got to commit to the team, you got to commit to the client, you got to commit to the mission. And that, you know, commitment's one of our core values. If you don't live with commitment, you can't be on the team. And for us, it's really important. Now, that being said, you know, I have seen outside the legal profession, I had a friend who's in the accounting profession and was mm-hmm. highly successful. I remember this, just 5 years ago. I was visiting him in San Francisco. He started an accounting company. He had locations throughout the world. He worked for Arthur Anderson, right, and left right before the collapse, and then started his own thing and was just highly successful. Mm-hmm. And sold his companies, and then, you know, he was living in San Francisco. I had an amazing house, you know, all the cars, all the toys, was, you know, ran some big event at Burning Man every year, kind of just living the dream. And, you know, then at age 42, he killed himself. That purpose was, I think, in my mind, you know, why he did it, and everybody asked, but that purpose was gone. That mission was gone. Once he made his money and sold out, that purpose was no longer there. And I try to, you know, instill that in our lawyers, that the purpose of what we do is important. But use it as fuel, right? I mean, when look, life is hard. And when you're a lawyer, it can be really hard. It can be devastating. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen lawyers dealing with malpractice complaints, bar complaints, angry, you know, they've got angry client, the client's mad at them, the opposing counsel's mad at them, the judge is mad at them. And then they're working so hard to catch up, but oh, now their spouse is mad at them, their kids are mad at them. And, you know, they feel like they just can't win, mm-hmm. right? And that's where we have to say, look, take control. You are the $1 million racehorse here. What do you need to do to be successful? You got to eat right. You got to sleep right. Look, if you can't fix it, hire someone to fix it or let it go. Mm-hmm. Because, you're extremely valuable. You put all this effort right into your education, and clients trust you. You built your reputation. You've worked so hard to get to where you are. You got to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You're the most valuable thing that you have, right? It's not your car. It's not your house. It's you. And, whatever you can invest in yourself, you're going to see the returns. And if you don't invest in yourself, then you're going to run out of fuel and yeah, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah. What about the families of the attorneys and even just, I mean, team members in general, but we're talking about attorneys right now. Do you have any systems or processes in place where you get the families involved and, you know, training or resiliency training or balancing, all of that? Do you do that?
So we have a lot of events and most of them are veteran related. Mm-hmm. We actually got some negative feedback about that, but that's our culture. That's who we are.
Right.
And what we do, like every summer, we'll do a big family event and picnic. We'll do a big Christmas party. So usually we're doing something that includes all the families twice a year. Look for our, you know, when we really get serious about recruiting attorneys too, I've read a lot of books to know that the spouse makes a lot of the decisions, right?
That's
so
right.
We're not only courting the attorney, we're courting the spouse, exactly. And the family members to make sure that they understand that this is a good opportunity and decision for them. Now, that being said, there are some family members who are very involved and there are some who just prefer to stay out of just kind of stay away and do their own thing. And that's fine. We have lawyers here that are married to doctors, right? Mm-hmm. And so they've got their own career. Mm-hmm. You know, look, they've got the full-time nanny at home taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, they don't want to come to a law firm event ever, right? They just want to spend time with their spouse and their kids, and their spouse wants a fulfilling career and they're happy we can provide it. There are other times where, there needs to be, more, I think, sense of community for the families. And we try to do that. You know, we have, for all of our team members, we have them fill out a celebration survey, right? Like, what do you like? If I could give you a gift that was $1,000 or less, what would it be? If it's $500 less, what could it be? $100 less, what could it be? Mm-hmm. And so every Friday, what we do is we have something called All Call. And we'll bring in all our team members at all the different locations. We've got the big screen TV up, all the cameras up so we can see each other. And we talk about what our progress is for the year on certain things, the wins for the week. And then we do a three toast. So everybody have a beer or a water or whatever. And we'll say, we'll talk about, we toast to our service members, to the families who serve along with us, and to those who made the ultimate sacrifice. And so we built that into our culture. And so a lot of times the families really appreciate that because they tell us, my spouse feels like, or my boyfriend feels like they really have found meaning here. Mm-hmm. And at Barry Law, they come home, they feel energized. They feel like they have a mission. What they do is important. Now they feel challenged, Chris. I mean,
yeah, I know.
Aggressive. I feel as a leader, if I'm not challenging people to get even better, then I'm failing them. So mm-hmm. It's high tempo, but we do what we can to take care of the families. And, when I was a company commander in Iraq, there was a family support group and there was a military spouse who was the head of that group. And, I was in contact with him once a week. And if something blew up, right, I would know about it and I would do what I could to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you in the civilian world, you don't have the same level of camaraderie as you did in those family support groups mm-hmm. where everybody's family is there because the communication is flowing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a lot easier for everybody to communicate about everything. But I would say it's the same thing where we invite family members to be involved. And let's face it, Chris, we're looking to recruit that next generation. So we hope that the family is having a great time so that their sons and daughters come work with us.
Right, right, exactly. Anything else that you want to share about the intake team with regards to this project that you're working on? Anything at all?
Well, Chris, I mean, I think, we laid the foundation working with you and your team. And I got to tell you the story. So I was, when I learned about you, I heard about you from a PI firm in Florida. And then there was another PI firm that was in a different state. And the guy said, Chris Mullins did a great job on the team. And I asked the guy, I said, what do you think about Chris Mullins? He was like, I don't like what she teaches. I don't like this. I said, okay, well, why not? And he's like, well, my whole system is set up so that I get the information. We kick out the contracts. It's all contingency based. So no one's really hiring us. We don't really need to do any selling. And that was his model. So I said, oh, well, yeah, I don't want. Yeah. I said, well, that makes sense then. And I actually, so I said, but what I want is what you're telling me you don't want.
Right.
So that's why, that's why we ended up hiring you, Chris, was because the attorney that said, well, I don't really like what she teaches, wanted the opposite of what I wanted. And I'm like, well, why don't you like that? Well, because she teaches this, this, and this. I'm like, yes, I want those things. Right? And so, you know, I think one of the challenges has been, yeah, like some things you teach about that empathy, making the connection, starting that relationship off right. And Chris, the reality is, even if lawyers or intake teams or sales teams make the sale, if they don't establish that connection and don't talk about what's going to happen next, you just, it just problems down the road, mm-hmm. right? It's going to be, if you don't establish control of that communication early and make sure that everybody knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, who's going to do what, you're setting yourself up for failure. And I think mm-hmm. that as we have, you know, are setting up our team of Marines now, you know, they're learning from our other team that you trained. Hey, these are some things that we can do better. And they're learning from each other, which I think is great.
That's great. That's wonderful. Yeah.
But Chris, as you know, unfortunately, it's not like, well, in the military, we would call it a perishable skill. You learn how to do it, and then you got to keep learning how to do
exactly,
it. And,
yeah.
and you know, one of the hardest things to scale in any law firm is the intake or sales side. Because generally speaking, it is a high burnout position. And you know what? When we get stars in intake, people are ready to poach them.
Right?
Oh, I want that person to be my legal yeah. assistant. Or that person's going to become a paralegal. Or I want them on the marketing team. And so, you know, it is where we just we're constantly hiring. But for all positions, we're always hiring. There is always room at the top, Chris. If someone's really good, we're hiring them.
You're going to find a way to hire. Yep. Right. Okay. So my last question for you is, why did you become an attorney?
So I think that there were a lot of factors. I mean, I'd love to tell you I had one reason, but my father is a Vietnam veteran and he wanted to continue to support and defend the Constitution in the courtroom. Instead of doing it overseas, he was going to do it one client at a time. That was very important for me. That was one reason. The other reason was, look, I was a college athlete. I was an airborne ranger. I love competition. And, you know, at some point you get a little bit too old to go on the playing field and jump out of airplanes, but there is just as much competition in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And finally to serve others. You know, I look at what we're doing with Camp Lejeune and helping veterans. And, you know, before all the, like I said, all these lawyers jumped in, we've been involved with veterans from Camp Lejeune for the past 10 years, getting them service connected for diseases and disabilities. And so when something like this comes along, where we can not only change their lives, but change the lives of their family members, mm-hmm. that is the greatest opportunity in the world. Without mission, without purpose, life can be meaningless. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get into the dark side we talked about, when lawyers get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we've got a great mission. We've got a great team. And I wanted to be a lawyer because I wanted all those things. I wanted to keep serving. I wanted to have a great team. I wanted to stay competitive. I wanted a mission. And yeah, I'm the oldest son. My father owned the law firm. So yeah, it was expected.
I was waiting for that.
So those are all the reasons, Chris.
All right. Well, thank you. So how can other law firms get in touch with you if they would like to ask you some questions?
Sure. So if people want to get a hold of me, they can email me directly, john.barry@barrylawfirm.com, or go to vetinjury.com, and they can learn more about Camp Lejeune and also what we do to help veterans appeal disability claims nationwide.
Awesome. Well, thank you, John. Thanks very much. So long, everyone. We'll see you again real soon. And thanks for joining us with Lawyers Tell All. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lawyers Tell All, where Chris Mullins takes you on a journey with lawyers in the trenches who show you the realities of what it takes to succeed in this chaotic, crowded, ever-changing profession. Remember to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on Lawyers Tell All.